Well, good morning, Carolina Focus. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9 and 92.7 610 Sports Radio, WFNC. Also available as a podcast at WBT.com. Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week. We're your co-hosts, along with Sharon Thorsland. I'm Ed Billick. We all know Sharon Thorsland, a diehard Tar Heel, interviews Ricky Price, a former Duke standout basketball player and now coaches youth players here in Charlotte. So let's sit back and take a listen right here on Carolina Focus.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us here on Carolina Focus. I'm Sharon Thorsland. We got a really fun program for you today because if you've been listening to me long enough, you know that I'm an avid Tar Heel. And today we are speaking to a Duke player, a former Duke star, Ricky Price. Ricky was at Duke University, all ACC, won two ACC regular season championships, went on to play 10 years in the professional ranks in the NBA and overseas. So, Ricky, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, now, first, I want to talk a little bit. One of the reasons I've got you here today is to talk about a camp that you're having. You are a coach of young players here in the Charlotte area. You've got your annual camp coming up in June, the week of June 20th. Can you tell us a little bit about that first, and then we're going to get into your background as a player and all sorts of topics today.
Absolutely. Well, this is our 10th annual summer basketball camp, Game Ready Skills and Development Basketball Camp here in Charlotte, June 20th to the 24th at Sharon Presbyterian Church. We are super excited to host this camp. 10 years in, a lot of games, a lot of stations, skill development work. We'll have guest speakers. We'll have an end of camp cookout, all the things needed for summer camp madness.
Now, what age groups, and is this boys, girls, both? Who can attend?
Just about anybody. Boys and girls ages 7 to 17. Usually we get, elementary school, middle school kids are going to be our bread and butter. And kids just want to develop. They want to get out the house. They want to do something, that's very important to their life and playing basketball. And obviously, and have some fun doing it.
Now, if people would like to go ahead and get more information or register, where would they go about doing that?
They would just go to our website, which is GameReadyCLT.com, click on Summer Camp. All the information is there, and then go ahead and register. Spots are still available.
All right, we're going to get into a little bit more of that in just a bit. But first, I want to talk about you as a player and how you got into all of this. So how old were you when you started playing basketball?
That's a good question. My dad put a basketball on my hand around 5 years old, and I immediately fell in love with the game.
Now, were you, do people know right off the bat, did you know you were good, or were you one of those kids that sort of came into your own later on?
No, I think I was pretty good immediately, the love for the game. And then I had the measurables. I was always the tallest kid in class, and I always had the ball in my hand. I was always playing, and I was good early on, and I had success early on, and I think I built on that each and every year.
Now, did you go the AAU route, or did you just progress straight through the regular school route?
Absolutely. AAU was big when I was coming up, and there was an organization called Slam and Jam. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and that's the organization that I played for, run by Izzy Washington, God rest his soul. He was a big-time AAU guy back in the day, and he represented and worked with several players like myself and got us to high levels in high school. A lot of us went on to play college ball, and a lot of us went on to play professional basketball, so I owe a lot of my early years, especially development, to Izzy Washington, the Slam and Jam AAU development program.
So now you were playing AAU. Did you also play for your high school team, or what got you the attention of the college coaches?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I was a pretty big-time high school player as well. I was a McDonald's All-American, and I was the number one player in California, and so I was heavily recruited, and I had the opportunity to have Coach K recruit me and offer me a scholarship to come to Duke, and I felt like it was a tough thing to turn down. Academically, they were sound, a top five school academically. Obviously, they were coming off a two-time national championship win in 91 to 92. I came in 94, 95, and so, coached by Coach K. So all the recipe, all the things were in place, for it to be a good situation for me.
What was it like when you were in high school and all? What other coaches were recruiting you, and what was it like just going through that whole process?
It was great. I mean, I pretty much got a letter from every college in America. My final five was Duke, Kansas, Arkansas, Cal, and Arizona. And so, for me, it was all about a good fit. where I felt most comfortable. And I wanted to challenge myself athletically and play in a really good conference. I thought the ACC was really, really good. And then I wanted to be in an environment where, you know, I could flourish socially, you know, where I would fit in. And then obviously academics were huge too. Graduating from Duke with a major in sociology and minor in history. You know, I didn't think I'd probably use that after school because I think I thought I'd play basketball, but at least when I was finished, I'd have that to fall back on.
So now when you got to Duke, Duke sort of went through a little low point there with Coach K with his back and things like that. But what was your whole experience at Duke like? You obviously won 2 regular season championships. Tell me about your time at Duke.
It was, I would say, ups and downs. You know, my first year was very trivial because, like you mentioned, Coach K was out with his back, and so I only had him for 10 games. And so, you know, my freshman year, when you really need stability and really need that backbone, being the coaching staff, I didn't have that, and we suffered. You know, we're 13-18. Turned it around my sophomore year, 18-13, made the tournament, lost first round. Turned around even better my junior year. I think we're 26-7 or 5 or something like that. Lost to Providence in the Sweet 16. And then, you know, as a senior, losing to Kentucky after going 32-8, they went on to win a national championship. And so, you know, I went from the lows, you know, to the highs. And it was a great experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
What was your, looking back at it, what was the most challenging thing coming from, across the country as a freshman and obviously having the difficulties with Coach K that first year, but what was the most challenging thing coming across the country and getting into big-time college basketball?
You know, I tell people all the time, you know, the jump from high school to college is significant. You know, in high school, you can dominate people with your athleticism and your skill. Well, when you get to college, everybody's athletic and everybody's skilled. And so now you got to find your niche and you got to improve at a drastic pace or else you're going to get gobbled up by your peers. And so for me, that jump from freshman to college, from senior year to freshman year in college was significant. And it was surprising to me, but, you know, I was ready. You know, I always worked on my game. I was always challenging myself. And I had the measurables, you know, and so I could play with these guys. It's just a matter of, you know, having the confidence and then actually, you know, producing.
Now, obviously, everybody knows about the Duke-Carolina rivalry. And to me, one of the greatest games I've ever witnessed between these two teams, you were a part of the double overtime at Cameron, 102-100 game that my Tar Heels did win. But, man, that was such an exciting game. When you look back at that rivalry and the games that you were a part of, what sticks out to you the most?
Well, most importantly, I think that rivalry is the best rivalry in sports. You know, I'm from Los Angeles, so obviously we saw the Lakers-Celtic rivalry. You know, there's the New York Yankees-Boston Red Sox, you know, maybe Michigan-Ohio State, but nothing rivals North Carolina and Duke. And that game in particular was probably the most memorable game of my career. Like you mentioned, double overtime game, Stackhouse with the reverse dunk in that game, Jeff Capel with the half-court shot. I was that skinny kid. As soon as that shot went in, I was a skinny kid running along the baseline with his hand raised up going crazy. That was me, number 3. And, you know, I remember being in the huddle after the second overtime, and Coach Gaudette was coaching us, and it was so loud in there. He was probably as close as you and I are right now, and we couldn't hear him.
Wow.
We could not hear him. He was screaming at the top, and we could not hear him. It was so loud in there. Unfortunately, we ended up losing that game. And actually, to be honest, my career against Carolina wasn't that good. I was only 1-8 versus Carolina.
Wow.
And but that rivalry has its twists and turns. After that, I think we went on an 8-1 run. And so then it turned, and then, you know, you got what you got this year. And so the rivalry is always going to be what it's going to be. It's the greatest in all of sports.
What do you think makes it so special? Is it the proximity? Is it being in the same conference? Or what is it that makes it just so one of a kind?
All those things. I think it's the proximity. I think it's the tradition of the programs. I think it's the great coaches that we've had over the past, the great players. You know, for God's sake, you know, we go to the same barbershop, you know, in Durham. I mean, so, you know, it's a very hometown feel. And the fact that these two programs are really, really good and they're only 15 minutes away in the same state is kind of magical. And that's what makes it special. And we saw that this year, you know, with Duke and Carolina playing in the Final Four, which is the first time that's ever happened. And so, you know, these rivalries and these special games are going to continue to happen. They've always happened, and there's no reason to assume that they're not going to be, this, you know, like this in the future.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Ricky Price, a former Duke standout professional player and now currently a coach here in the Charlotte area, founder and president of Game Ready Skills and Development Training. Now, after you left Duke, you went on to professional career. How did that happen? Did you go straight to the NBA? Tell us a little bit about what happened after you left Duke.
Well, that was funny because in 1998, there was an NBA lockout, and so nobody played in 98 until February, March. But I spent most of my career overseas, 9-year overseas guy, 2 years in France, Slovenia, Amsterdam, Finland, China, Venezuela, Philippines, you name it, passport full of stamps. And what happened was is that basketball really gave me a great opportunity to see the world. Mm-hmm. And so now these are places that I probably would have never gone to. And I have a chance to play there, you know, sample the cuisine, experience the weather and the culture. I mean, it was an incredible experience, and I cherish those moments playing overseas. And then, obviously, you know, you had a chance to make, you know, a little bit of money as well, yeah. You know, tax-free, and they take care of you with an apartment, your car, and your phone and everything else. And so, you know, really it was a dream come true to be a professional basketball player.
So when your professional career came to an end, what made you say, I'm going to get into coaching? Did you say, all right, what am I going to do now? Or was that something you always wanted to do?
That's a good question. You know, the natural progression for most athletes is to go into coaching, go into radio and TV, or sports marketing. You know, they want to stay around the game. You know, I'm not an expert in too many things, but I know basketball. And for me, I've always had an affinity for teaching. I've always loved to work with, you know, love working with kids. I've always worked camp, Duke camp, my friends' camps, and I found myself always teaching. And so for me, it was natural, you know, that I could either, you know, be on the bench and coach that way or do something more on an individual basis and work with players on skill development. And I chose the latter. And for me, I mean, it's worked out great. You know, obviously coming from Duke, you know, there's credibility there. And so now when I go to a parent or a mom and dad and be like, okay, well, give me your resume. What did you do? Well, yeah, I played at Duke. I played professional for 9 years. I have instant credibility now to work with your son, and it makes it easy. And obviously we're in North Carolina where basketball is king, and all these kids are playing basketball. You see a hoop on every house, you know, here. And so these kids have aspirations of being Duke basketball players, Carolina basketball players, and playing professionally. A lot of them will never achieve that, but it's the journey that the parents are interested in. It's the discipline. It's the hard work, and it kind of sets the stage for what is, you know, that's going to happen for them later on in life. And so I enjoy it. I absolutely enjoy it.
So is that something you started then right away as soon as you came back from your pro career? And how did you end up in Charlotte? Being from L.A., obviously you played at Duke, but what made you want to stay in the Carolinas?
Another good question, Sharon. You asked a lot of good questions.
my Tar Heel background.
That's right. So for me, you know, coming from L.A., I knew that I would probably have more success staying in North Carolina, especially if I wanted to do training or coaching, because where people recognized and knew me. I thought that the Durham area was too small. It's more collegey. Mm-hmm. I thought Charlotte was a more metropolitan city, more like L.A., not quite like L.A., but more like L.A. for me. And so I settled here. And then, you know, I jumped into sports marketing immediately after, you know, finishing playing. And that was cool, but that wasn't my niche. My niche is definitely in teaching. And so, you know, it's crazy. We're celebrating our 10th year anniversary in August. And, you know, I'm excited about it. So, you know, we're going to keep rolling.
Do you remember who your first student was? Who was the first kid that you coached?
I do not. I do know this, though. Langston Wirtz, you know who that guy is, Fraud Observer. Mm-hmm. I coached his son, Trey Wirtz, who's now at Notre Dame in AAU. And Langston wrote a piece on me in the Charlotte Observer. And I thought it might hit, you know, maybe the back of the sports page. It hit the front page of the Charlotte Observer on a Sunday.
Oh, wow.
On a Sunday. And I went from zero clients to 50 clients in one day.
Wow.
And so from people reading that article about me, hearing that I was starting my business, hearing my story, you know, everyone wanted to sign up and work with me. And that's how I kind of got started.
What do you enjoy the most about working with kids?
Really, it's their seeing them develop, you know, from start to finish, you know, really seeing them start at point A, not being able to dribble with their left hand. Can't make a left-hand layup, can't consistently make a three-point shot, to working with them, drilling, and then seeing them, you know, progress, and then seeing them make all their aspirations and goals through basketball, like making their middle school team, like making their AAU team, like making their high school team. And then God forbid their career continues to go where they can get a college scholarship and even pay professional. And so I play a huge part in that and, you know, getting them where they needed to be. And then secondly, and most importantly is, you know, lay the foundation and give them the discipline that they need. You know, I hold all these kids accountable and it's not easy. I'm going to be on them every step of the way. And as a result, you know, they listen to me, they trust me, and when they improve and get better, they just lay a good foundation for what they're going to do after basketball. And I'm telling you, that's a great feeling.
Well, I know I can vouch for Ricky firsthand. My oldest son, Gunner, is a current student of Ricky's, and he's definitely improved in the time he's been here, and he will vouch for that and say that it is tough, and Ricky definitely gets on him, but you definitely do a great job with these kids. Did Coach K have an impact on the way you coach or even helping you get into coaching? What was his influence on you as a coach and as a player and a person?
It was immense. It was immense. There's not a day or something that goes by in my career professionally that I don't, you know, reach out to him and ask him for advice. Like, Coach, what do you think about this? Especially if it's something big, life-changing. Mm-hmm. And he's always there to give me that expert advice. And then, obviously, you know, as a player working with him for 4 years, a lot of the things that he taught me, you know, I find myself saying in training sessions where I say something, I'm like, where have I heard this before? Oh, yeah, Coach K told me this when I was at Duke. And so now I'm passing that knowledge on. And so you're not getting Coach K, but you're getting the extension of Coach K because all the things that he taught me, I'm passing on to all the kids that I train. And there's a certain way that you do things to get success. And there's a certain way that you have to go about your business. And so those are some of the things I like to pass to my guys. And so he's been very instrumental. And I'm proud and happy for him. You know, obviously he had an illustrious career at Duke. With USA basketball, in basketball, period, I think he's been one of the best coaches in all of team sports. And now that he's stepping away from the game and can spend more time with family and grandkids and do what he wants to do, I think it's well-deserved.
Absolutely. I have all the respect in the world for a Coach K, even though he's a Dukie like you. But that's okay because he was a phenomenal coach and made such a huge impact on college basketball. In addition to working with kids, you have your skills and development training, but you also, I've seen some articles and some things where you've gone out and like done team building and working with teachers and other things. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of your company.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, Game Ready is kind of like a Google umbrella where there's a lot of different services underneath, you know, one umbrella. So you have your training, you know, your basketball training, your speed and agility training. We also do our camps and clinics. But team building is huge. And I love doing that because corporations are using these leadership development strategies all over the country. And so one of the things that we like to do is show how basketball and business are very similar. You know, in the words of teamwork, how you got to work together to get the job done, you know, how you have to, you know, be one unit, how you have to, you know, uplift each other and not bring each other down. So through basic basketball drills and principles, you know, it's more like a team building fun event. And so, you know, we've done that with probably about 4 or 5 companies over the last couple of years, and we want to do more of that. And so they really enjoy it. And they see the value in it. And most importantly, they see improvement in our strategies in basketball and how they can implement those in their strategies in business. And so it's worked out well.
We're speaking with Ricky Price. He is a former standout at Duke University and played professionally as well as the founder and president of Game Ready Skills and Development Training here in Charlotte. Talking about training these young kids, do you feel like this is something that they need to do? Is the middle school and high school and rec league basketball, that's just not good enough anymore? I mean, do you need to be able to do something like this if you want to have aspirations of going farther in your basketball career?
The answer is unequivocally yes. All these guys who are getting drafted, all these guys who are in the NBA, especially in today's game, they all had trainers. They all had people who work with them specifically on their game. Now, a lot of these guys already had talent, all right, but you got to cultivate that talent and really bring that out of the individual. And if you don't have someone who's going to be on you every step of the way, it's going to be tough to replicate that yourself. You can go outside and shoot, but it's not a game speed. You can go outside and shoot, but you know you missed a couple shots because you didn't leave your follow through. You can go outside and shoot, but you forgot that you have to work on the conditioning aspect of it as well. And so you need someone like myself or somebody else in that space to really push you to do that. Now, when you couple that with AAU basketball, rec league basketball, and then high school and everything else, now you can probably get a well-rounded individual. But it all starts with skill development. And if you're not getting better each and every day in basketball, your peers are going to surpass you, and, you know, your stay in the game is not going to be long.
What are some of the main things that you work with kids? I mean, what's the number one thing you start with, and where do you progress from there with working with these kids?
I think the biggest thing is confidence. I think a lot of these kids, they just don't believe that they can do it. You know, a lot of them walk around here like with their head high. I think I call it false confidence. You know, they think they're better than what they really are. And so, you know, how do you gain confidence? Well, you have to see the ball go through the basket. You got to practice time and time and time again. And I know it's mundane, it's the same drills, but until you master that, you can't really move forward into the game. And so for me, it's instilling confidence, and then it's really working on skill development stuff that you're going to absolutely need, like using your left hand. We talked about that earlier. If you can't use your left hand, then you're going to struggle in the game. If you play the guard position and you can't, you know, shoot mid-range and three-point shots, you're going to struggle in the game. If you're not in excellent physical condition, you're going to struggle to keep up with these tip-top athletes. If you're not doing speed and agility training and working on your athleticism, you're not going to be able to jump and run with these guys. And so all these things are incorporated in building a really good basketball player.
How has basketball changed since you were playing in the terms of the development of young players? Was this something that was that available? I mean, it's not like you're old, but when you were playing and coming up through high school and middle school and stuff in the late 80s, early 90s, what was it like then compared to how it is now?
Totally different. You know what skill development for me was? My mom would drop me off at the park at around 10 o'clock in the morning, and she'd tell me she'd come back around 6 before the streetlights came on, and that was my education. And what would happen was, this is where I instilled my competitive spirit. This is where I learned how not to get my shot blocked. This is how I learned how to win, because when you're playing pickup basketball on the street in the blacktop, you know, if you lose, it's going to be a long wait. You got to figure out ways to win games and stay on the court. And so that competitive spirit, I'm so glad she did that, because I saw loads of guys, older guys, smaller guys, taller guys, different opponents come through the gym, come through the blacktop each and every hour. And so I'm there 6-7 hours a day, and I'm seeing each and everybody come through, and they're all challenging me. And there are some, a lot of them were better than me, and I had to figure out a way to deal with these guys. And really, it helped me, because now when I got to playing with my guys in AAU, I just felt like this was easy. I just played against a grown man, you know, for 2 hours. So playing against another 13-year-old, that's not going to be as bad. And so in today's game, you know, I think we're missing, you know, playing outside, you know, the blacktop. You know, kids are on their computers, they're on the game, they're on the sticks, they're doing their thing, but they're not really working on their game in terms of playing basketball outside and competing. And that drives me crazy. And so, you know, training is good. Playing AAU is good, but you need to play some recreational basketball too. Go to the Y, get dropped off, and just go through the elements, and, you know, go through the fire and figure it out. And I think if more kids did that today, we'll get a better product.
Interesting. That's not an element that I was expecting you to say. So, you, in addition to doing this kind of stuff here with you and AAU, go to the Y. Are there other places around Charlotte where kids can go do that, where you can go drop them off somewhere and have some pickup games?
And that's just it. We don't have that anymore. There used to always be a pickup game outside on a Saturday morning. You don't see that much anymore. At the YMCA, they're still doing it. But I always encourage parents to get their kids out of their bubble. The bubble is playing with your friends, right? The guys who live in your neighborhood, the people that you know. You know what? Let's go to a different neighborhood. Let's go to a different part of town where basketball is different. Let me just drop you here and let me see how you do. And so you're going to have to be able to deal with different styles and different types of basketball. You know, guys are talking smack to you. You know, guys are pushing you down. It's more physical. And so these are the things to help build your character and really build your competitive spirit. And I wish kids, you know, did more of that, you know, in today's game.
What's the toughest or most challenging thing about working with kids? I mean, obviously you work with kids of all ages. What's the thing that maybe is the hardest to deal with or most challenging thing to do with them?
That's a good question. That's a good question. You know, a lot of it is stubbornness. You know, one of the things that kids don't like to do is they don't like to go hard all the time. In order to play at the highest level, every possession you have to play hard. You have to train hard. every move has to be hard. Defensively, you have to be there. And so what you see is a lot of kids take time off. So in a 60-minute workout, you know, they want to relax 20 of it. They want to go hard for 40 of it, but 20, nah, you can't do that. You got to go hard the whole 60 minutes. And then you start to build a habit of, okay, this is how I do things. I do things at game speed. And so now when I put you in a game situation, you're running circles around your peers because they've been slacking and just going half, you know, hazardly the whole time, and you're going hard. And so I guess it's teaching, you know, kids what game speed is and how they need to do that all the time.
Does that take a while to sink in for these kids? And when they finally get it, do you go, all right, you got it?
Absolutely. Those first five sessions is all about that. It's how hard you have to work, how hard you have to play, and how different this is than what you're used to doing. And, you know, even your son, I mean, he had to figure that out. And now he knows when he sees me, he's got to be ready to go the full 60 minutes. And if his shirt is not drenched with sweat and he's not exhausted, then something went wrong.
That's I can definitely vouch for that one as well. He is always dripping sweat when he leaves here. So obviously this is a fun environment for kids, but also a very challenging one. Where do you hold your workouts for kids around Charlotte?
Well, that's a good question. You know, for the last 10 years, we've been, you know, using churches. Covenant Presbyterian Church has been my home gym. Obviously, with the pandemic, we left and went to First Baptist Church, so I've bounced back and forth. You know, but for me, the biggest thing we're doing now is we're going to build our own facility.
Oh, wow.
And so I got some investors in place. We found a piece of land that we really, really like. We're doing our due diligence. And if that works out, you know, we're going to go ahead and put an offer in and then build our own facility. And now we can house all of our services under one roof. And if we're able to do that, you know, this training platform is going to go from here to here, you know, really, really quickly. And I'm super excited about that. So fingers crossed that can happen.
Wow, that's really exciting. Now, in addition, I forgot to mention this earlier, in addition to the skills training, you do conditioning drills. I know you've got kids outside doing all sorts of conditioning and that kind of drill as well. What is that aspect of these workouts as well as the on-the-court skills?
Absolutely. Well, you know, building a great athlete is a couple things. You know, the skill development portion of it that we do in the gym is crucial. Obviously, you got to shoot, pass, and dribble. Basketball IQ is huge. You know, you got to know where you need to be on the basketball court. But the athleticism portion of it, too, I think is good. And, you know, some people are just natural athletes, and some people have to work at it. And there are a lot of people who have to work at it, and that's what we do in speed and agility training is we put you through ladder drills, you know, proprioception drills, running hills, teaching you how to run, box jumping drills, things that make you a better athlete. So now when you take the basketball court, you know, you can keep up and you can, you know, dominate some of your peers, you know, because of your sheer athleticism. And you can only get that by even having it naturally or cultivating that through speed and agility training, which is something that we do right here on Wednesdays, 4 and 5 o'clock. At the field behind St. Patrick's School in Dilworth.
What separates a good basketball player from a great one? What makes the guy take the next leap?
That's a good question. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, well, you see that in the NBA. You know, a lot of these guys will just do whatever it takes to win. I think a great basketball player, you know, there is nothing that he won't do to win a championship. You know, and so the sacrifices that are made throughout the course of the year, that could be family, that could be with your body, that could be the sacrifice you make with your teammates and coaches, whatever. You know, a great basketball player is always going to be willing to do that. And then, you know, your average basketball players are just going to just give you what they can. The great basketball players are going to give you what they can all the time. And I love this time of year because the NBA playoffs, we can really see who the great ones are because of their sacrifice and how much they want it. You know, so when you watch Giannis and when you watch Chris Paul and when you watch Steph Curry and some of these guys who are left, Joel Embiid, and they really want it. And they'll do whatever it takes. They'll do whatever it takes. And that, to me, that's the mark of a great basketball player. Will you do what it takes to win?
Is that something you try to instill in your players, even at a very young age, to sort of get that going early?
Well, that competitive spirit can be taught. But, again, this is one of the things that I think either you have or you don't. You know, I think Chris Paul, he just has it. He wants to win at any cost. And it could be, you know, cutting the throat of his best friend if he has to, he'll do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just one of those things. Kobe was like that. Jordan was like that. These guys, they'll do whatever it takes. And so I think a lot of that is instilled, but some of it can be learned. But I think for those guys at that level, it's either there or it's not.
We're speaking with Ricky Price, former Duke standout and the founder and president of Game Ready Skills and Development Training, telling us all about his career, about what he's doing here now in Charlotte. We're going to take a quick break right now here on Carolina Focus, but when we come back, we will have lots more with Ricky. Stay with us.